Hey guys, we're back one more week and we're up to episode 30, I believe, for Depp Heads and Kettle Stoners. Yeah, I know. I'm Jen, and over here I have... Who are you, Carrie?
Carrie.
There we go. Sorry guys, we're doing this by phone, so it's not like he can see me. I can wave at him and stuff, so...
Yeah.
Not working that way just yet. So anyway, week 30...
I'm shaking off my vaccine. It's got me addled.
Oh yeah, had a shingles vaccine and it's got him all messed up.
Absolutely, it has got me messed up.
From what I hear though, it's worth it. Shingles is nasty.
Yeah, they said it was almost 98% effective. You know, so it's a really effective.
Well, that's a
vaccine.
Hey.
Like it's just a bad boy, and I'm like, I gotcha, and they weren't wrong.
So. Yeah, when you get something that. Where you can't touch the area of skin that's affected by it, you know.
Yeah.
Knowing me, I'd get it on my ass, and then I wouldn't be able to sit down. I wouldn't be able to lay down. That would be me.
That would be awful.
That would be me. You know, I'd get it on my ass, and then I'd get it on my thighs, like the top part of my thighs. So I couldn't lay on my front or my back. That's me.
That would suck. That being said, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely excited about the podcast and some of the exciting, interesting news that's come out of the courtroom.
Oh, yeah. Other than Amber getting on the stand and bursting into tears almost immediately, come on, girl. I said she wasn't a good actor, okay? I said she'd never be able to pull this off. But damn, I thought she was better than that. I mean, that was pitiful.
She swung for the fences right away.
And she missed spectacularly. Yeah, Johnny got no problem with this case, I don't think. I'm not saying that because, you know, I'd be the one to jinx it.
Yeah.
But so far, it is looking very good for Johnny. With the one, there's the one thing, though. The one thing that I keep saying. People tend to forget this is not about abuse. This case is not about abuse. It's not about who abused who. It's about defamation. And can they prove that Amber Heard intended to hurt Johnny's reputation with the article that came out in the Washington Post in 2018? That is the court case. Not about the abuse. Now, if it was about the abuse, oh yeah, that bitch is going to jail. But it's not, unfortunately. So, the defamation, as far as I can see, still has yet to be proven. So, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see. But anyway, okay. Yeah, enough about that. We're doing Hiddleston this week, but I've made several comments on several different shows talking about the 6 degrees of separation, the different people that they are both friends with. But
yeah.
I was looking over some of my own personal compilations that I have, different facts about the two men, different quotes from the two men, and I found something interesting.
Okay.
I found that they actually, as different as they are, is they are miles apart as far as schooling, as far as background, as far as habits, one's an optimist, one's a pessimist. Okay, that pretty much tells you they're about as opposite as they can be.
Wow, yeah.
But they think a lot alike when it comes to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys hear some noise in the background, don't worry about it. It's just my roommates. So, not a big deal. And, of course, Diesel. The Diesel dog. Yes, I traded the cat for the dog. The cat is no longer with me, Sparrow. Sparrow and Barry had other things to do, so they are, they are hopefully listening, but they decided they didn't want to actually, work on the podcast because of other commitments and obligations. So,
right.
So we still say hi and hope the best for you guys. We miss ya.
Oh, though it, trading a cat for a dog or a dog for a cat That's a pretty good move.
I don't know. Now, I mean, Diesel's a sweet boy, but he's an 80-pound sweet boy that thinks he's a lap dog.
Right.
Yeah, he's a, for lack of better words, he's a pit bull. But he's one of those pits you see on, like, the memes and stuff, wearing the shower cap and holding the binky in his mouth. Yeah, that would be Diesel. He's a big 80-pound bundle of love and licking. He loves everybody. He's so sweet. He even loves the cat. Find me a pit bull that likes cats. This dog.
That's crazy.
This dog watches over the cat's kitten. So, you know. And I call the cat because I'm not sure what her name is. She's an outside cat and she doesn't like me, so. All right. On and on. On to the quotes. I was just looking through the individual quotes that I have collected over the span of some time. And I found that whether it's acting or advice or the ability to stay focused at the job, they have very similar attitudes.
Okay, yeah.
Now, and I know everyone has heard Johnny Depp say, quote, "With any part you play, there is a certain amount of yourself in it. There has to be. Otherwise, it's not acting. It's lying." And,
that's a fantastic quote.
Oh, yeah. And the scary part is he's played some characters like Whitey Bulger. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to know what part of that stuck with Johnny. I really don't. And Amber better be really lucky she didn't find out.
Wow.
Okay, and of course.
Very true.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm being a bitch today. But
okay.
Tom is a bit more. Tom likes to use words. Lots and lots of words.
Yeah.
So a lot of times...
He's very eloquent.
Very, very. But this is a really good quote, too. Basically, it's Schrodinger's character. Acting is always about somehow finding a part of myself that is relevant and then turning the volume up on that particular part. So I am all of the characters I've ever played and I am none of them at the same time.
Wow.
Schrodinger's character. So,
yeah, that's fascinating.
So I caught that. So then I looked on. And once again, opposite sides of the coin. Tom says, people love escapism and there should be a place for it. That is, he was talking about the movies and, you know, the fantasy and the fiction that is so popular right now. It is a form of escapism. And it's something we all desperately need from time to time.
Sure.
Johnny says, escapism is survival to me. So, right, once again, same page, opposite side of the coin.
Yeah. And I agree. I like to, you know, not just watch the movies, books, role-playing games, you know, video games. That escapism is very, very, very important.
It certainly is. It gives you a little bit of downtime where you can just step back, take a deep breath, you know, muster everything that you need before you gotta step back into real life. And I'm sorry, real life's a bitch sometimes. Sometimes you have to step back away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be center focused all the time. If you try to be, you're gonna end up as the Joker, okay? You're gonna be locked in an insane asylum with your face painted white and, you know, cackling and giggling over nothing. So, of course, you know, I'm halfway there already, so... Anyway, at least I'm not wearing white face paint.
Who do you think of those two would make a better Joker?
Oh, damn. Wow. That is a difficult question, because I could see both of them.
Yeah.
But they would be...
And, you know, yeah.
But they would be very different Jokers. But
yeah,
I think
very different Jokers.
I think they would both be very good Jokers, though.
Yeah.
I think
absolutely.
I absolutely think both of them could pull it off without a flaw.
Mm-hmm.
I think they would both. That would be an amazing role for them.
Yeah, and I would be interested to see what their interpretations would be.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I could see Johnny playing a more Whitey Bulger-esque type character.
And Hiddleston, criminal background, if you will.
Right. And I could see Hiddleston playing a more Loki-esque type Joker.
Yeah, you know, the clown prince.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh yeah. Definitely, I can see that. Wow, that was a good thought. Damn. And the next one is on advice. What they would tell someone who is trying to break into acting. Tom Hiddleston says, never ever let anyone tell you what you can and can't do. Prove the cynics wrong. Pity them, for they have no imagination. The sky's the limit. Your sky, your limit. Now let's dance. Yeah, gotta love it. Of course, you know, Tom is all about the dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he learned how to dance because he was afraid he would not be popular with the girls at school. So he learned how to dance so he'd have something to offer.
Nice.
Of course. Yeah.
Good. No, that's
yeah, awesome. Smart, right? But yeah,
good move.
This is the same kid that got his first real kiss, tongue and all, at 10.
What?
So, really? Yeah, he's not popular with the girls. No, not at all. Oh, my God. Whatever.
who was it that did it?
He never names the girl. Never names her. But yeah, he got his first kiss at 10 years old. His first real kiss. He's like, he's like, some guys are like, they kiss a girl and they're like, oh, man, that was disgusting. I'm like, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
Tom, you're a horn dog. We know it.
Sure.
So Johnny's advice to those who want to break into acting, do what you really want to do. Don't play their games. When they want you to race to the right, tear along at the highest speed to the left. Don't do what others want. Find your own path.
Wow.
So essentially the same thing.
Find your own path,
you know. And Johnny did just that. He broke through some severe barriers. He's done everything from Edward Scissorhands to playing a crossdresser. So, you know, he's
one of my favorite roles.
Oh, I know. Which one? Because he's done it twice.
Edward.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
It's great, Edward.
Yeah, I've got that one in Dublin somewhere or in Jacksonville somewhere. My daughter has that DVD that I own.
So, I'd like to revisit that one sometime.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It reminds me of...
Top three favorite.
I've got to get my DVDs, my makeup, and my jewelry back for my daughter. Put that on the bottom of the to-do list. You all right?
No. Doing what I was doing.
All right, so... Sorry about that, guys. The next one I've got is, this is the last one, promise, about how to remain level in your acting career. Above all, stay humble. Because just when you think you got all the answers is the moment when some bitter twist of fate in the universe will remind you that you very much don't.
Yeah. The universe has a way of knocking you down.
Oh, yes. And, you know, she may use something as simple as another actor to do so. And Johnny says, I don't think it's anything you ever get used to. For many years, I could never sort of put my name in the same sort of category as the word famous or anything like that. And I just found it very uncomfortable. If you get used to it, then something must be wrong. So don't get used to it. Don't get complacent. Don't get ahead of yourself, and don't get above others.
Right. Now, and that is to stay humble above others. And
that is the philosophy that both of them have, the whole stay humble. You know, they are both all about that.
Stay humble and work. It seems that's kind of been their thing, too. Do what you love, but definitely work.
Yeah, but do it. It's like Hiddleston says, take the work seriously. Don't take yourself too seriously.
Right. And that's amazing, amazing advice.
Yup. His biggest problem and one of his biggest pet peeves is time. He hates being late for anything. But he's usually late for everything. But when he worked with Tilda Swinton on Only Lovers Left Alive, he heard her saying the Serenity Prayer. Now, I don't know if she's had a problem with addiction or not, but that's where a lot of people do know the Serenity Prayer from.
Yep.
Yep.
AA, NA.
Uh-huh.
That's almost a mantra.
Al-Anon, just all of those. And it is the best piece of advice I've ever heard.
That's how you close a meeting.
Absolutely. But he heard Tilda Swinton saying the Serenity Prayer. And now when he's late or when he's forgot a line or, you know, when he's irritated at himself, you'll see him close his eyes and recite the Serenity Prayer to himself and take a couple deep breaths, and then he goes about his business. So, yeah. But yeah, that's another one that is an amazing, amazing movie, is Only Lovers Left Alive. But anyway, our guys are very much alike, no matter how different they appear. And guys, I am still working on the blog. I am still working on getting the beginning of the list of 6 degrees of separation going. I just have not got it done yet. Got lots going on, lots of balls in the air. So I do apologize, and I will get on that as quickly as possible, okay? Yeah, we need to get Carrie on the blog, too, is what we need to do.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. So, do you know any interesting facts about Tom Hiddleston, Eric Carey?
You know, admittedly, a lot less than I would about Depp, and a lot about Depp, you know.
Yeah.
Depp has basically just been me kind of following his career.
Well, he's been around for since 1990?
Depp?
Yeah, he's been around for 33 years.
Oh, he's been around since, I think, 83 or 84.
Well, if you count 21 Jump Street, yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, movies, maybe 90. You know?
Yeah, 1990 was the first movie. No, 1984, because he was in Nightmare.
Nightmare, right. So, you know, we've got the advantage of kind of just enjoying his career and picking things up, but Hiddleston's still, I don't know, kind of new to me. Because I'm a little older.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't until I started really researching and doing this show that I learned a lot of this stuff. And I would like to thank anybody who has posted stuff on YouTube, on the web about him, because trust me, if you've put it on the web, I've probably seen it. I don't just do a little research when I do these shows. I do hours and hours and hours of research. You know, I just, I don't like to take the first thing I see. I like to be able to dig down deep and see what kind of really weird shit we can come up with.
Yeah. Well, couple of very interesting guys.
Absolutely. But yeah. we're focusing on Hiddleston today. So, seems like we haven't been doing a lot of that lately. Because of, you know, the trial and everything. So, Tom, we're so sorry. Today's for you, buddy. All right. Now, okay, take a guess how many instruments, not including his voice, that Tom plays.
You know, okay. I'll go with four.
How many?
Four.
You're going to say four. Okay, you want to name them, or are you just saying four?
I'm guessing he plays guitar, and I'm guessing he plays piano.
Okay. Those two are.
And the others, I don't know. What? Those two, right?
Those two are right, yes.
Hey. Some kind of horn.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to go with, like, clarinet. I don't
know why. Nope.
Flute.
Nope.
Trumpet?
Yep. Played trumpet in.
You're kidding.
Played trumpet as a child. He actually plays 7 different instruments. He played the violin and lute in Only Lovers Left Alive. Piano.
And that was him actually playing.
Yes, that was him actually playing. This is not just for the movie. He actually learned how to play these instruments for the movie.
Okay.
The piano and the guitar, I saw the light. He also plays spoons. He played trumpet as a child, and he plays drums. On top of that, he is an incredible singer as well. So, this man, this is the kid we used to beat up at school for being an overachiever because it made the rest of us look bad.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I'm telling you, the man is too perfect. He is a massive overachiever no matter what he does, whether it's the instruments or his vocal talents or his mimicry, his language skills, everything. His schooling was top of the class every year. Then on top of that, he is the eternal optimist. I don't think I've ever seen this man actually have a bad day.
Yeah, you know, he seems like he's genuinely pretty happy, you know, like a satisfied.
Absolutely.
Happy person. You
know? And I'm like, dude, okay, you know, and bad things happen, he just kind of steps over them and moves on. It's like, dude, you're just not even going to get a little bit upset? Nope, he doesn't do it. So, yeah, this is the kid we used to beat up in school.
Yeah. And, you know,
Tom.
Like that's kind of the opposite, again, with
Johnny.
Him and Depp.
Yep.
Depp, actually, ever since, like, the early, early days, I mean, you have tortured artists or whatever. I mean, I don't know if he's a tortured artist, but definitely, you know, don't get the impression that he's kind of, you know, bounding around the room, you know.
He's definitely got a bit of darkness on his soul there. I mean,
yeah, you know, and I know he's an introvert and all, but well, he's just an introvert, and you're reading that wrong, but, you know, I know introverts pretty well, and it's different, you know.
Yeah. And he's definitely very shy and very contained as Johnny Depp.
Sure.
And no matter how, yes, he's a super megastar. Yes, he's Captain Jack Sparrow. Yes, every female in the world knows who he is. But he still will tell you that he is a musician. He is not an actor.
Yeah.
So, and he would rather play bass standing at the back of the stage than he would be in front of that camera. But he does it well. It supported him, and we love him for it. So,
what's the name of his band?
Hollywood Vampires. Him, Alice Cooper, okay. Joe Perry.
I'm thinking, yeah. All of the actors that actually have done band stuff. I think Keanu Reeves was in a band with an actress and a couple of Hollywood friends called Dogstar, and he was a good player.
Nice.
And I remember Bill Paxton, good old Bill Paxton.
Oh, God, yes.
God rest his soul. But he was in a really, really cool group for a while called Martini Ridge.
Yeah, and I can't call his name for some reason. Hawkeye from the MCU.
Oh, yeah, and he's got, he's got his band.
I heard him sing. I'm like, dude, what are you doing in front of a camera?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Absolutely amazing. And just, I mean, I happen to like Hawkeye. Thank you very much. I hear a lot of people giving Hawkeye shit. I mean, really, I do. The actor as well as the character. And it's like, man, lighten up. I really like this guy. So
I really kind of more gave him shit over the music. I love Rimmer. He's great.
That's it. Thank you.
And his voice is great, but the music was just not good, and he tried so hard. A couple years ago, and they did like a tour, and he did like a commercial where he played this band.
Right.
And I was like, this sounds like just kind of regular bluesy rock stuff. But hey, he is, yeah, technically he is a musician.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's both, just like Depp is both. You know, they just choose, they prefer one over the other. Now, Tom is fascinated by language. This is a direct quote from him. He says, "I am fascinated by language as a way, I suppose it is our primary tool of externalizing the many complex feelings and thoughts we have as human beings." He also said, "How can we, as human beings, make ourselves understood when we are so complex and our capacity to feel and think is so profound?" So, he is captivated by language, and he shows that in the fact, you know, how many languages he speaks?
Five.
I think I told you when I was out there, and you were...
5 to 7.
11.
Seven.
He speaks 11 different languages.
11?
He is fluent. He is fluent in English, French, Greek, Spanish, and Italian. And he knows enough to converse, or to make himself understood, in Russian, Latin, German, Korean, Mandarin Chinese. He also uses British Sign Language. 11 languages, cool. 5 fluently.
Wow.
So that leads into my next thing. Have you seen him do his imitations?
Sure.
Okay, he's great at that. I sat there, I was watching one interview that was just after, the day after he showed up at Comic-Con. And, I mean, it was a very tiny little room, and there was an audience participation interview, and one of the audience members asked him if he could mimic her. And the host automatically started giving Tom crap about it. So Tom slumped down in the seat, took the same seating pose as the host, and mimicked his voice so perfectly. I had to stop and rewind it. I thought that the audio had skipped.
Wow.
It was amazing. And this is like only the second time he'd ever talked to this guy. So it's not like he would be sitting there practicing that voice. He just brought it up on command. It was impressive.
Wow. Wow.
That's
crazy.
What I would like to do is get a language expert and I don't know who else, maybe a vocal expert. I wanted to find out if there's any connection between the language skills and the mimicry. You know, is one good because the other is, or vice versa, or do they have no connection whatsoever? Just the fact that he's a stupidly good overachiever and...
Right.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you had to get, a linguist, maybe some sort of really high-powered vocal coach.
Right.
You know, to give their opinions.
Yeah, I'll have to
go see. He's famous for it. He's definitely known for the mimicry.
Oh, yeah. And we've got the college right here, so.
Mm-hmm.
Right down the road. Although, you know, I don't know that I'd want to deal with that particular college. Anyway, got Georgia College right down the road. Georgia College and State University.
Yeah.
I might go see what I can find out from them.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that, if you could find somebody there, it would be an interesting question to pose. A lot of professors just kind of, they're just teaching.
Right.
And, somebody kind of pops up with something interesting.
They might actually appreciate it.
Sure.
Give them something to bake their noodle on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you see the interview with Hiddleston when they were talking about him and Owen Wilson playing tennis?
Which interview was it?
It was one of them about the series, but they were asking him, and all I remember is that he was talking about him and Owen Wilson playing tennis, And he said he thought he was good. Owen Wilson smoked his ass.
Wow.
Smoked him. I mean, just bad. However, Tom turned around and beat his ass at ping pong, so. Tom is a self-proclaimed ping pong master. And he played rugby at Cambridge University until he had to choose between either rugby or acting. And he chose acting, thank goodness.
Yes.
So he was athletic from the get-go, and he's always had a very slender frame. If you see the movies that he was in his younger days, you know, he's very, very slim.
Yeah,
he packed on some muscle for Loki, but he's also a very active person. I'm not sure if he's quit smoking yet. That was one of his New Year's resolutions. I was astonished to find out that he did smoke.
I'm a little surprised.
As active as he is, to find out that he actually smokes. I can't smoke a cigarette and walk to the front door, let alone smoke a cigarette and run 5 miles in the sand on the beach. Are you kidding me? No, he does it every morning.
Well, you know, he's young, and he's from an athletic. I mean, some people just have the build. Yeah. You know, some people were active all their lives.
And some of us were couch potatoes.
Yeah. I mean, of course he's going to blaze on the beach with the running.
Yep. And he does. He runs, he prefers to run on the beach because the sand offers more resistance than concrete. It also offers more padding than concrete, so he doesn't have to worry about shin splints as much.
Yeah.
And you're a runner. You're a runner, right?
Yeah.
So you would understand that type of thinking.
Yeah. You know, I always thought the sand, you got to get kind of that sweet spot where it's not too, too soft. You know,
you don't want...
It just completely bogs you down. That sucks, especially since I've gotten older. But
yeah.
That is pretty prime, you know, that and... It's pretty great, actually. And it's soothing. You know, I live on the Gulf Coast. You know, the beaches.
Yes.
30 minutes every year, you know. And, we ran on the beach a fair amount. You know, we grew up over the summers playing, like, beach volleyball. And...
Oh, Carrie, you're a total surfer boy.
Well, it's Alabama. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I don't know if I call it a surfer boy.
Do you ever surf?
I have surfed a couple of times, but we went to Texas.
Oh, went to Texas to do
coastal,
that.
Coastal Gulf, gotcha. Texas, Gulf of Mexico, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, here we get, you know, literally 3-foot swells, and it's like, woo.
That's better than Georgia. God, the little bit of coast we've got here, if it's not mush by the time it's like 15 feet out, it's usually mush by then. You get foam in Georgia. You don't get waves, you get foam. You know, the foam that washes up on your feet. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I can dig where it's coming from with the running on the beach, though, because it's very peaceful. It's very pleasant. You can kind of get in that. I don't know, you can get a lot of thinking done.
Oh, I'm sure. As not a runner, I can imagine that you would, but me, all I would be thinking is, God, when's the stop? Where do I stop? I can't breathe.
Literally, you stop at a beachfront bar. That's right. You park, then you park it. Done a couple of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's it. Just got
it's
done. I just got done running 5 miles for my health to make sure I'm healthy. Let me go over here and get a tequila sunrise.
These were sanctioned. Like, that's the point. You basically run 5 miles and you stop at 7 or 8 different kind of seaside bars that are in on it, you know, and they're kind of your checkpoints. And you do shot or have a quick drink and then just, you know, keep moving.
No.
Pretty fun.
No. Is this like an endurance test to see who's going to puke? Because I would be number one.
A little bit. When it's like really, really hot, but you've stayed kind of hydrated and you're drinking like that, you start seeing like Mayan temples.
Wow. Damn.
Sometimes you throw up. Usually, you know, you wish you could throw up, but your stomach is like seized, so nothing comes.
Damn. I tell you what, I'll be the one in the car, and I'll meet you at each bar, and then I'll put someone. Yeah, then I'll put. Go. Then I'll put London in the driver's seat, and she can drive me around to meet you. Oh boy, yeah, that's how we'll do that one. Now, you know, most actors do have their stunt doubles, especially for a lot of your more, you know, more dangerous stunts. You really kind of have to know how to fall and, you know, how to land, even though you've got the big air pillow up underneath you for a fall or whatever. You know, it's still a dangerous thing to do some of those stunts. I mean, in Avengers, where Loki falls off the tower. In reality, he only fell about 10 feet.
Sure.
10 feet's enough to break a neck.
Yeah, you know,
that's... fall wrong.
Yeah.
But... in Avengers Skull Island, in most of Tom's movies, he said he has had stunt doubles for all of them, but 99.9% of his stunts are all done by him.
That's cool.
If he comes across one that he is either not willing to, or the producers are not willing to let him
do.
That's when they call him the stunt double. But 9 times out of 10, that's Tom there doing those stunts. That's, you know, that's him all over. That was part, one of the things he took when he was going to the acting school was to learn how to do the stunts. And, you know, when he acts, he wants to do it all. He wants to be the 100% character. So, hey, and Johnny does the same thing, so.
I'm pushing for him to be the next Bond.
Oh God, me too. But he does have a new movie out, and I cannot wait to see it.
What is it?
He is acting opposite Claire Danes. Now, how long has it been since you've heard that name?
It's been a minute.
Quite a minute. But he's opposite Claire Danes. Would it be the Essex Serpent? He plays a priest. Huh? I guess he kept seeing the priest Loki art. You know, and decided, hey, that's a good idea.
Haven't done that.
Haven't done that one yet. But yeah, he plays a priest. I was like, oh boy. But yeah, this looks like it is going to be fantastic. It looks like a mix between maybe a Loch Ness Monster type of story combined with maybe witchcraft, maybe a little bit of Scarlet Letter in there. It looks like it's going to be fabulous. What I've seen, the previews I've seen have been amazing. So if it doesn't live up to the hype, I'm going to be so disappointed. But it looks like it's...
Is it a period piece?
What's that?
Is it a period piece?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But, I mean, it really does, guys. There is a trailer for it on YouTube. Look it up. The Essex, E-S-S-E-X, I believe. Serpent. Is the name of the movie, if I am not mistaken. Look it up. Check it out on YouTube. It looks phenomenal.
Jeez, I had no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the first I'd heard of it. A friend of mine sent me the link to the trailer. And I'm like, when did he have time to do this?
Yeah, when's it coming out? Is it coming out soon?
Fairly soon, yes. But he's been acting on, you know, on basically England's Broadway, doing a couple of different plays there. He's been, still no word on whether the whole engagement thing is official or not. They have made no formal announcement, so we're still waiting on that one, guys. But besides spending time with her and doing the whole Broadway thing, and apparently making this movie, which... I'm usually like the last to hear anything except when it comes to these two guys. Well, apparently now I'm just the last one to hear anything. So, but yeah. Keep everything rolling, and he's got to keep his name out there. Otherwise, he's going to end up just like Leonard Nimoy, and we don't want that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably surpassed Nimoy. You're right. You want to keep the momentum, but
right. And I mean, he could.
Nimoy was typecast almost right away from his earlier.
Well, because he didn't do anything else for the first, like, you know, several movies up until like the fifth or sixth movie. He didn't do anything else but. And then once he tried to branch out and go a different way, no, that's Spock. You know?
Well, you know, and it's funny. He wrote two autobiographies. The first one he wrote, I think it was in the 70s. I have a copy of it. It's called I Am Not Spock. And that was the name of his autobiography.
Yep.
And then as he got older and got into the 2000s, he wrote his second one.
I Am Spock.
In his life, called I Am Spock. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, he was just typecast really early. He's freaking Spock, you know.
Right.
And,
but at this... Oh, go ahead.
No, that's... Okay. I mean, you know...
Yeah, he was typecast, but he let it go for too long, I think. Now, Tom was already in a couple of different movies before joining the MCU. And then immediately, almost immediately after filming, I think it was Dark World. I think it was right after Dark World that he filmed Crimson Peak. Right after the original Thor, I think he filmed Only Lovers Left Alive. So he made sure to keep those branches going to where he wasn't at the same time, you know, as Loki. You know, there will never be another Loki as far as me and a lot of the female fans of the movies and stuff. There will not be another Loki. If they try to put someone else in that spot, fine. But we know who the real Loki is.
Right.
So he would always, you know, I'm sure he's always going to be welcome back in that role. No matter, you know, no matter what. But yeah, he quickly got out there and got other roles and got other parts. And he's just as well known as Jonathan Pine as he is as Loki. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's,
yes,
I mean...
he's very definitively Tom Hiddleston when he takes on a role.
Absolutely. And I want to know what his fascination is with the military. Or is it a fascination, or is that just the kind of role that he tends to get cast in? Because he was a military man in Night Manager. He was a military man in Skull Island. He was a military man in... High Rise. Dr. Lang speaks about being in the military every now and then in the movie. So I'm wondering if it's his fascination or if it just happens to be coincidence.
Well, you know, he's got the physique for it, you know, where you're like, oh yeah, ex-military guy, and a lot of people,
right?
You know, good character development, if you will, for a lot of male characters. He was ex-military, you know, so he does have that kind of man of action mindset.
That he does. And he does have that I'll do what's right because it's right attitude.
Yeah, you know, duty. You know,
right. Yeah. Dudley do right. But yeah, I also want to know, and I haven't been able to find out, where and who trained him on weaponry before he did Night Manager. Because that man knows guns.
Yeah, he handles them very surely.
And he knows how to strip one down and put one back together. So I want to know where he got his training and who trained him, because they did a good job. I mean, not once did he fumble, not once did he... I mean, just very, very quickly, cleanly, very surely when he was handling those weapons. And you don't see that in a lot of, you know, 3-4 year military personnel. You know, they're still a bit hesitant. So, yeah, they did good.
Let you guys go. That's all.
Absolutely. I know you got things to do, but we appreciate you stopping in and spending some time with us. Your input is always valuable.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely, baby. We will talk at you. I'll send you a text later on this evening.
Yeah. Good night, everybody. Thanks again.
Thanks, Carrie. We appreciate you being here.
Sure.
Absolutely. See you guys. He'll see you next week, guys.
See you next week, guys.
Bye, Carrie.
Bye.
All right, guys. It's just me now, so I've not done this before by myself, so we're going to see how this goes. Now, talked about him doing his own stunts. He also does his own vocals in I Saw the Light. That movie, yeah, it kind of crashed at the box office, and the family of Hank Williams was not happy with his performance, saying that his singing left something to be desired, said he had no soul. Come on, cut the man some slack. Not only was he faking an American accent, he was faking a country American accent. That's a lot. Give a guy a break. So he also did his own stunts in Kong Skull Island. He takes his roles very seriously. He memorized sections of the Prose Edda and studied Norse mythology from every angle before he played the role of Loki, so that he could better understand him. Won a 2017 Golden Globe Award for Best TV Motion Picture for The Night Manager, and he played Jonathan Pine in that. He loves Shakespeare. He has memorized Hamlet and can recite any part of it on demand. And I've got several more here about him, but we're getting about close to that time. We're at about 46 minutes, so since I'm not used to doing this by myself and I'm really kind of uncomfortable with no one to talk to, except, you know, you guys, and y'all can't talk back, unfortunately, what I'm going to do is go ahead and say goodnight. Now, you know, our Spotify and our streaming services have been shut down for now, so you will be able to find this podcast and any that come after it on our blog, which is depheadshiddlestoners.com, or you can get to it through barryreese.net and click on the link. You can find it on Depp Heads and Hiddle Stoners group on Facebook. And you can always, if I can get it working again, find us on Instagram as well. So those three will always be up for every new podcast, and we're going to see how that goes, and I'm going to try to get that Instagram working, so I'm not promising anything on that front, but we'll see. Hopefully we can get our streaming back sometime soon. We're working on that. But keep up with us. Keep an eye on our blog. Keep an eye on us. You can reach us at depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. As usual, the more input I get from you guys, the better I can do this podcast and the more that you guys will be liking it. So, you know, let me know. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't like. Hell, you know, give me some ideas. You got something you want to hear about? Let me know. Be great. I don't mind the ideas, and I definitely don't mind criticism, as long as it's no hate speech. We're all not good with that one. So, I guess we're going to sign off. You guys keep watching Amber Heard if you need a little comic relief, because apparently she's going to be really funny this week. Like her lawyers were not funny enough. Yeah, objecting to their own question. Yeah, I thought they learned not to do that in law school. Maybe not. I'm no lawyer. I think I could probably do better than them, though. Anyway. Next week is Johnny Depp, and we are going to do a wrap-up. No, next week it won't be done. If the trial is over, we will do a wrap-up of everything that has happened. Go over testimony, you know, who said what, who did what, and what everybody thinks of it. If we don't do that, I'm thinking maybe we'll Let's